okay?
I'm curious about something. I always before, I think I've been very, very good at separating state from nationals, you know, state from federal when it comes to politics.
Right.
But now I find that I'm having a harder and harder time separating those two, because the voice is so loud out of D.C., defining who the Democrats are and defining who the Republicans are. I mean, if we gotten to the point where a local election, they say all politics is local, you've heard that too. If we gotten to the point now where what they say in D.C. really should impact how you vote on the local level?
There is definitely a disconnect at times, and also seems to me like there is a connection between the national and the state. But before we go any further, I want to jump in and say this. Back in 2016, when I was running for office, Tom, I signed the People's Pledge, I initiated that People's Pledge to not vote for Mike Madigan if I was elected. And on January the 11th, when I was elected, Tom, and we took the oath there in Springfield, the first vote that I took was not to elect Mike Madigan as Speaker of the House. And we also just initiated that People's Pledge again just a few weeks ago, and the same thing I stated, and I signed my name that if elected, re-elected for this position, and in January when I would be sworn in again in 2019, the first vote that we'll take again is for the Speaker of the House. And I did not vote for Mike Madigan in 2017. I will not vote for Mike Madigan in 2019, nor would I vote for him ever to be Speaker of the House. And I'm also for term limits, and I just wanted to throw that in there because I think that's so important for the people to know where I stand on this. And my philosophy is also for term limits. I'm just finishing my first term, and my goal is to serve four terms, which would be 8 years. And I think that's plenty enough time to make some impact, run as hard as you can, do the very best that you can for your district. And so I just wanted to share that with you before we went any further.
Well, let's talk about that for just a second. Is the gubernatorial election, is the House of Representatives election actually a referendum on the Speaker of the House?
I believe it is. And, you know, the power that he has and what the state, the condition that it's in today and what's been going on in the state and what hasn't been going on in the state, the power that the Speaker has, I mean, the connection to him and the governor, it's that position, those two are closely united. And if the election goes a certain way, we're in trouble.
What kind of trouble are we talking about here? Are we talking about progressive taxes? That's what often people hang their hats on. We say, this is trouble. I mean, I overheard some people while I was having lunch who were clearly not fans of Rauner, but that they were sitting at the lunch table, and I could hear them talking about it, and they were clearly not fans of Rauner, I'm telling you right now. But that progressive tax is what they were talking about as a group, and they were trying to make up their decision whether that would cause them to cross the aisle from the Democratic Party to Republican, that singular subject.
That's exactly right. And, you know, being a Republican that I am, and there's a lot of things that I agree with the governor. I wasn't with him on the House Bill 40, and I'm definitely a pro-life and fighting against the funding of abortions and those types of things. And there's a lot of people in the state and in my district that are disgruntled and disappointed and upset with him about that. But they see that this progressive tax thing, if things go that way, you think things are bad now in the state. As I've talked all along since I was running for this election back in 2016, I said, you know what we need is we need more taxpayers, not more taxes. And if we think that we can raise taxes and raise revenue to offset our needs in Illinois, we're fooling ourselves. And so I just, I'm working to bring people to Southern Illinois, keep the people that are here now, give them a reason to stay. And that's one of the other things that I'm really working on, too, with young people here. In fact, I was just on the phone with a principal of McLeansboro just about 30 minutes ago. Southern Illinois University is having that Seniors Day next Wednesday, and I was encouraging him to allow his students to come and participate in that. I've got 12 high schools in my district, and I've called each one of the superintendents of all those 12 high schools, encouraging them to get their students there to check out SIU. Promoting this area, our brightest students, we haven't been giving them a reason to stay in Southern Illinois. And when I talk to parents, and I realize this is what happens, is that you have these kids that they go off to college somewhere, they get married and they don't come back. And so it's so important for us to challenge our brightest students to stay here in Southern Illinois. And with another thought I wanted to throw at you too is one of the things that if I'm reelected and I'm planning to do that, I'm running like I'm losing, but I'm planning to win, Tom. But I say this, that one of the most important things, and you know this and I know this, that there's 1,000 open jobs in Southern Illinois, but we can't get people to fill them. I think one of the most important things we need to work with education, with schools, is that this vocational programs. And I was talking with Tom Oates yesterday at Marion, and they're doing a tremendous job with offering vocational classes at their school. In fact, he told me, he said they even open it up to other schools. So we've got to train kids and challenge them not only to go on to college for their math and science and those types of things, but we've got to challenge them to. There's positions right now. There are companies that are looking for welders right now as we speak. There are good-paying jobs that people could fill right now, and I feel like that's so important.
And it's 8:30, and it sounds like we lost Dave there. It's 8:30, News Radio WJPF, Southern Illinois' number one for news and talk, but that's definitely a dropped phone line there. I'm kind of familiar with the sound. News Radio WJPF, Southern Illinois' number one for news and talk. Going to take a small break and hope to get the state representative back on the line. Didn't take long, Dave, to understand we were dropped off. We were talking about students at the time, but I want to interrupt you there, Dave, and go back to this question of progressive taxes, all right?
Yes, sir.
Say it'll chase people out, and I talked to J.B. Pritzker point-blank, face-to-face on this issue, and he says, look, everybody says this, but the fact is states all around us have progressive taxes. Progressive taxes are across this country. People aren't leaving those states. That's what he would say, so what would you say to him?
That sounds good, but in the state of Illinois, all the people that are leaving, they're leaving for one reason, and that's this tax concern. So we've got to be competitive, and for us to be competitive with businesses, you know, they're saying, okay, we're just going to raise the taxes on the rich. Well, you know what? Those are the people that provide the jobs for the middle-class people. You've got to have company owners to create jobs, to bring the jobs to Southern Illinois. So this thought that, though, you know, if progressive tax raise the revenue, it won't work. It's already proving where we're at now. If we raise taxes even higher, we're going to lose even more people. It doesn't work.
You know, it's what I did find interesting is when I was doing research on progressive taxes and how much and what cut the state takes, I think I was surprised at how many states don't have any state tax at all. You know, but on the other hand, when you go to the cash register and buy something, you do pay up. I want to talk about your first 2 years. You talked about you wanted to do 8 and then a self-imposed term limit there. In your first 2 years, it's very hard to get legislation accomplished when you're a freshman in the House. What do you hold up as an accomplishment of your 2 years in office?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So the first bill that I passed was to provide service dogs for veterans with PTSD. And veterans is so important that we take care of them. And I appreciate what Senator Fowler had on this morning as far as the honor flight, what they're doing there. So that was the very first bill. The second bill was to promote tourism. And to me, tourism was one of the top things in Southern Illinois that we can do to provide more jobs and to attract people to come to Southern Illinois. And so that was the second thing. One of the other things that we really worked on was also that I came up with a bill to save schools $1.1 million throughout the state. We're working, we'll introduce this bill again if I'm reelected. It's got a lot of traction, but we didn't get it passed, but we got a lot of attention on this, where schools don't have to purchase newspaper ads to show what their expenses are. They can upload. The technology today is where websites where people can go and check those things out. One of the other things also was addressing taxes for companies that bid against Illinois companies. When they bid against other companies from out of state, how they get beat in the bids, or the Illinois states have to pay Illinois sales tax. The out-of-state companies don't have to. And so it just makes sense for us to be competitive that we would not to our Illinois companies and allow them to be successful when they're competing against out-of-state companies. And one of the other things that people really have been interested in is the bill that I've been working on as far as fireworks in the state of Illinois. And then some of the other things that have done is Hamilton County Schools, they were going to lose their early childhood funding, and I was able to get them $240,000 just before school started. There was some problems and some communication with the state of Illinois and how they were going to do some things, and I was able to help them with that $240,000. I was able to get the Heartland Regional Hospital $1.1 million in tax credits that enables them to keep their doors open today. Also, the Williamson County Early Childhood Program, back when we didn't have a budget, Tom, they were owed $700,000 in their grant that they had. They were going to have to close their doors, shut down that program. But I was able to create a working relationship with the comptroller's office. And what we started doing when I was first elected is we started having satellite hours each month at a library in my district. And I invited the comptroller's office, his staff, to come and be in those open hours. And when I did that, I had Republicans say, "You're going to do what? You know Mendoza's a Democrat, don't you?" I said, "I don't care if someone's a Republican or a Democrat. As a representative, I'm working for people." So I invited the comptroller's office to come. We started a relationship there where when I was able to call the comptroller's office, they knew who I was. We were able to advocate and get that $700,000 for the Williamson County Early Childhood, and so they were able to keep their doors open. So those are some of the things that we've gotten done. I'm working with people on a daily basis, going to events, going to different businesses, organizations. There's a daycare, I could give you their name, that we were able to advocate for them to get their money to keep their doors open. So it's just it's been a very, very fast, wild ride, but I love every minute of it.
All right, before we let you go this morning, because we're quickly running out of time, as
yes,
we
sir.
Look forward, looking forward here now, what do you want to achieve? What is an attainable goal? I mean, election year promise is almost a euphemism for
yep.
lying to you, right? I want an attainable goals that you feel you can achieve in your second term for specifically your district.
Yes, sir. Our district, as you know, is pro-life. So given the opportunity, I will continue to vote pro-life. Also, I'll vote against any gun legislation that they've tried in Madigan and his Chicago liberal gun laws. I have voted against every one of those, and I'll continue to do that. I'm going to continue to address our property taxes. Everybody talks about that, and we've got to work on both sides of the aisle, work together on that. The other thing we've got to continue to work on that I will work on also is the workman's comp rates to be business friendly. Also, we've got to come up with some better ideas and strategies for pensions. And the other thing that I feel is most importantly for my district, for our millennials and for our future, is working with the schools on those vocational training. So those jobs that we have open, let's get those kids trained, those adults trained, so we can get things done. And finally, the one thing that you can take to the bank on Dave Severn is in 2016, I was the one that initiated the People's Pledge to not vote for Mike Madigan for Speaker of the House. I carried that through, and if I'm reelected, that first vote that I will take again, I will not vote for Mike Madigan as Speaker of the House. Not this time or not ever. That's me. I'm working for the people. Every day, we're accessible. You call our office, we're addressing needs and problems, and I love it. And it's an awesome time, and you can know that I'm working for us.
Illinois State Representative David Severn. David, thanks for your time this morning. Travel safe to St. Louis today, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Good talking to you, Tom.